Amen. All right. Praise God. Take your Bible, go into the book of Mark. Amen. And we're going to the book of Mark this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I like the little old book of Mark. It's a little small book, but thank God for it. Amen. And we're going to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 10. Mark 10. When you find your place, let's stand. We're going to start reading verse number 23. Mark 10, 23. Amen. Just by way of introduction, there's more miracles recorded in the book of Mark than there are in Matthew, Luke, and John. And it's a smaller book. It's the smallest of all of them. And it's just a little small book compared to the other three Gospels, but I'll tell you, it's jam-packed with some things here that we need to see. Mark chapter 10, verse 23, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto the disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Notice verse 26, "And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved?" You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom, understanding. Lord, most of all, give us the power of the Spirit of God that might speak through us. Lord, use our vocal cords for Your glory. Lord, use our body right now for the next few minutes for Your glory. Lord, speak to hearts and souls and minds. Lord, I pray today that our hearts might be open, that we might understand the things of God. Lord, if there's one in our midst that's lost, save them out of the will of God. Touch their heart. Lord, have Your own will and way. Lord, we commit this to You. Have Your own way in every heart, every life. May we listen. May we be, Lord, to the place that we have be attentive to the reading and the hearing of the Word of God. Speak in Jesus' name. We humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to look at a little phrase here. And I found it in some of the other places, but out of the book of Mark, particularly in chapter number 10, look at verse number 24. And I want to notice this little phrase, "And the disciples were astonished at His words." I want to talk about astonished at the Word of God, or astonished at His Word. Amen. Then if you'll notice again, it's mentioned down in verse number 26, "And they were astonished out of measure." That word astonished means to be shocked. They are staggered. They were impressed. They were touched. They were moved. Amen. Brother God, when He spoke, and here's the Son of God. Amen. He didn't just become the Son of God when He came here. Amen. He was already the Creator. Amen. When He came here, He didn't come as a king. Amen. He's already king before He got here. Praise God. Now I get to looking at these things. What a blessing. And I want to talk about being astonished at His words. Being astonished at His words. I like this book. I don't know about you, but I like this book. Matter of fact, I'll make a bigger statement. I love this book. Amen. I'll make a bigger statement. I adore this book. Amen. I'm astonished at this book. Amen. Praise God, this book's brought me further than any other book of my life. Praise God. It ought to be the book of yours. It's the book of mine. Amen. Somebody said, "I got a good library. I got one of the greatest right here in my hand." It's the whole library. This book today will take care of every person's problems, every person's needs. You don't need nothing else but God. Amen. Through this book. Amen and amen. I praise the Lord for His Word. Somebody said this about the Word of God. I've used it down through the years. And brother, this means something to me. If they say, "Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy." Amen. Now some folks like that first part. Read it to be wise and never get past that. Amen. They certainly don't like the last part, to practice it to be holy. Most folks don't want to be holy. Amen. They're afraid they're going to get to be holier than thou. Amen. And they get to thinking, "Hey, if I get like that, somebody's going to put me in a different place and put me on a pedestal." Don't worry about it. Amen. I've been around you Baptists long enough to know this, that you're not going to get too holy. How many folks have you ever found got too holy? I found some that did get to where they thought they were holy, but I want to tell you something. They didn't, you know, if you get holy, you won't go around bragging about it. Amen. I'm going to prove that to you out of the Word of God this morning. This book contains the light that God can direct your path. He'll brighten the light for you. It's food to sustain you spiritually. It's help in the time of comfort. And brother, He can help you to cheer your soul when you're down and out. Brother, it's a traveler's map. A few times I've traveled around, had to go get me an atlas. Praise God, I got a heavenly atlas right here to tell me how to get from earth to heaven, and that's all I need. But I had to get an atlas or some kind of map to get me from one place to... I stopped one day down in Atlanta, Georgia, walked into a place, and I said, "Sir, can you tell me where Emory Hospital is?" Amen. He didn't know. He said, "I don't know where it's at." He just moved in here, some foreigner or something, and he didn't know where it's at. And I rumbled around for another 30 minutes, got on the other side, went 2 blocks from where I'd asked him, and there he was. I was almost at a place he didn't even know, 2 blocks away. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I'm in earth, and one of these days I'm going to heaven. I've got a road map and a compass. Brother, I've got a guidebook, and it's going to show me, has showed me, and going to lead me and guide me and take me to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Brother, even better than what they had here on the earth. Glory to God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I find all this. It's the promises of God. I can just talk about it. Put this in the back of your Bible somewhere. I got this wrote down and use it a lot of times. And I found out nobody's ever argued with me about it. And if I do, I'll just put them to the test. The Bible contains, here it is, it's a mind of wealth. It's a paradise of God. You got your pencils out, give you time to get your pencil, jot this down. And one of your white flies, a fly leaves of your Bible, either in the front or the back, and it's going to tell you how much it contains, what it contains. Number one, brother, it contains 3,000,000, got this, 3,566,480 letters. Now, if you don't believe that, count them and come back and tell me. Amen. I want you to count it 5 times to make sure you get the same answer every time. Amen. And no, don't argue with me if you can't do that, all right? Then it contains 810,697 words. 810,697 words. You said, why you give me all that? That's not important. It is. It just lets you know it's enough to boggle your little brain. Amen. It's bigger than you. There's 31,179 verses. 31,179 verses. There are 1,189 chapters. Got it? 1,189 chapters. There are 66 books. Amen. Think about this Bible. And then out of those 1,189 chapters of your Bible, 250 of them are included in the New Testament. And 939 of them are included in the Old Testament. And if you put half of this Bible in a modern newspaper, about half of all the books would only fit about 2 columns of that newspaper. Because they're so small. Amen. Some of them would carry more than 2 columns, but half of them would just be on 2 columns. Brother, you say, "Well, you're getting that." I'm talking about what a great book it is. Written over a period of 1,600 years. 40-some different odd writers. Amen. Brother, they did not, either one of them at all, in no mean shape, form at all, contradict one another. Amen. If I asked every one of y'all to write me an essay on one subject, y'all'd get so many contradictions, it'd be pitiful in this building. But I'll tell you, here's 40-some writers that did not contradict one another, and they gave us the good, precious Word of God. Amen. It don't take but about 75 or 78 to 80 hours to read it. Amen. That means 2 40-hour work weeks. Well, in our modern day, work weeks ain't that long no more. But anyhow, 40-odd hours a week that you sit down. If you spent the rest of your life and spent 40 hours a week reading the Bible, you could read it, what, 24 times in a year? Amen. You said, "I've done read it 100 times in my lifetime." Yeah, but you can't tell me anything more than what you've done. Just read it. I want you to get the place that you don't try to be a daily Bible reader. Just be a daily Bible reader and don't brag about it. Amen. Somebody said, "I started Matthew. Now I'm right now in the book of Ephesians. Hey, I'm not talking about how many times you can read it. I'm talking about studying the Word of God. Go through the Word of God. Don't try to get some kind of a little thing. Hey, I've done this and I've done that. Just read the Word of God. Amen. I'll tell you right now, it's a blessing to see all that. Did you know it? That's to think about the Word of God and what God can do. Amen. I praise the Lord. I just give God His glory and His honor for all the things that He has done for me down through the years. You can take the book of Ephesians and you can read it in about 15 minutes if you want to. Amen. Six little chapters. You can read it out loud. You know how you know how I know that? Because I tried it. I timed myself to see how long it'd take me to read straight through the book of Ephesians. It took about 15, 16 minutes. And you can read it quicker than that if you wanted to go silent with it. So there's no excuse for you not knowing about the Bible. Amen. You ought to know more about it. It's been written in different places, but it's been despised, hated, rejected, and the devil's out to do what he can to get you to have a disinterest in it, to get you to be discouraged to not read it, and try to distract you from reading the Word of God. But you ought to get a copy of it and treasure that copy. Matter of fact, get you several copies. Amen. I don't like to be caught nowhere without a Bible. Amen. Praise God. Take one to Walmart, one to Kmart. Have it available if you need it. Praise God. You men never know when a woman, you drive down the road, she said, "Can you drop me over at the Bath and Body Works?" And you'll sit there, you listen, I don't feel like that's a place for a man. Amen. You might go a lot, you might like it. But I just park and she'll say, "Go on." And she goes, "I just get to reading the Bible." Amen. You better get you one to stay with you. Amen. You'd be better off. Amen. You wouldn't fuss at her for staying in there so long as you read your Bible while she's in there. Now you sit out there and she's in there 15 minutes. She stayed over 2 minutes past what you thought and you criticized. And here you are, argued with her all the way home. You'd been reading your Bible. You'd been better. Amen. Well, I'm meddling. I'll get off of that, would you? I want to talk about this morning something about astonished. These fellows were astonished. This Bible can direct us. Look with me in verse number 24, chapter number 10. "And the disciples were astonished at His words." What were they astonished at? His words. They were astonished at how He spoke, what He spoke, and how He spoke them. Amen. I'm astonished at what God says in this book, how God says it, why He says it. Amen. I'm astonished. Amen. This book begins to get a hold of us. You said, "Well, what are you getting at?" I'm looking at this. Would you turn your Bible, please, to chapter 1 of the book of Mark. Chapter 1 of the book of Mark. And look with me. Amen. And we're going to see something here. And then we'll talk about it a little bit more in just a minute. We'll find that they were astonished at His Word. Then in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His" what? "Doctrine. For He taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." Look at verse number 27. "And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For that with authority commandeth He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey." Now we find that they were astonished at His Word. That's His Word. Praise God, I'm astonished at His Word. Are you? Amen. I praise God that I am, and I thank God for it. Now they're astonished at His doctrine. Praise God, I like the doctrines of God, don't you? Amen. Somebody said, "Where do you get your doctrines?" I got my doctrines from the Word of God. And God has given us the reason I got it is because I got the right Bible. Amen. You get the wrong Bible, you get the wrong doctrine. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I got started off right. Somebody gets up and testifies and they say this, something like this. "I thank God for what I'm believing and how I believe it." Said I followed somebody that one day in a little trance and looked over into heaven and they seen the Ten Commandments and one of them stuck out above all. That is, to honor the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. And they started a whole doctrine and a whole religion on it. And now people are going up and down the countryside saying, "I'm following after Ellen G. White." Amen. And they take on these doctrines about this business of eating certain meats and not eating certain meats. I tell you what, I'm glad my doctrine is not established on somebody that had a vision back yonder, but I'm glad my doctrine is established on what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I'm astonished at the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God that's been given to you and me. Amen. A fellow sat down under the tree one day. And there he was. And he looked. And here come a fellow out of heaven called himself Moroni. And talked to a fellow and gave him something. And he walked down there. And he said, I'm Joseph Smith. I'm starting a new work. Amen. I want you to know this morning, thank God, I'm following after Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Brother, I'm not following after dreams and revelations. I'm glad I'm following after the doctrine of Jesus. I got out of the Word of God. And brother, I'm glad my doctrine is right because it comes from glory. Amen. You think about that this morning. You got so many people, they'll follow this and follow that. If you don't have it, believe in what you believe today, stand on the street corner over there and I'll beat on a tub. It won't be long. They'll be out there believing with you. Amen. You with me? I believe this morning we ought to look at this. I'm astonished at His words. Secondly, I'm astonished at His doctrine. Would you turn with me, please, to the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 11, we'll turn in these places. Mark chapter 11 and look at verse number 18. The Bible said, and the scribes and the chief priests, amen, heard it and sought how they might destroy Him, for they feared Him because all the people were astonished at His what? Doctrine. There's a lot of people astonished at it. You start preaching today the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God sent His Son from glory. He took on the form of flesh, died on the cross of Calvary, went to the grave and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Brother, you preach that today and they'll say, I don't believe that doctrine. Amen. Can you understand this? I can't comprehend this. How somebody can read in the book of Genesis and it said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes on down there and says that God made man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And they look at that and they read that and they get over there and they say, what in the world? Said, I think what I'm going to do is start me a new doctrine. I don't like that one. And they said, what happened? Something splattered down one day on the ground. It hatched out a little while, done a lot of little things, made a few changes here and there. And one day hopped up off of the water, got on the ground, amen, jumped up and down and set him a monkey and swung from the tree with his tail. His tail fell off and he went downtown, bought him a suit and come back and said, hey, I've evolved. And people believe that junk. It's amazing how people could go do something like that. After reading the perfect, unadulterated Word of God, how can a man or a woman read the Bible and then go against what the Bible says? Us Baptists like that. Amen. We don't like it our way. We'll make it our way. Amen. We're Burger King Christians. We want it our way. Amen. Hold the lettuce. Hold the tomato. Amen. Take out the ketchup. Put in more mustard. Take off the onions. Put on a piece of cheese. Amen. Take off the death of Christ on the cross. Take out the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, take away the sinless life of the Son of God. I want my religion my way. That's where we're living today. And people are dying and going to hell because they're going their way. The Bible teaches us in the John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brother Jesus tells us that. So they were astonished at His words. They were astonished at His doctrine. Amen. Are you getting that this morning? They were astonished at it. Now, let me give you another one. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 5. Go back to Mark chapter 5. And let's look at verse number 42. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 42. Look here. The Bible said, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Amen. Now what were they astonished at here? He just raised up this girl. So that's the works. They were astonished at His Word. They were astonished at His doctrine. And now they are astonished at His deeds. Amen. His miracles. Now this world looks around And brother, they see me and you, and they see us get in the house of God and wave our hands and holler hallelujah. Praise God, glory to God. Kick our foot every once in a while, sing real loud. I mean, just let it ring out from our lungs like thunder. And they say, there's something wrong with that crowd. What's wrong with them? Amen. They're astonished at the deeds. You said, hell, because the Lord reached down and saved us and changed us. I act like I act because the Lord done something for me. I used to be a little bashful boy, sitting alongside, getting to church, and brother, I sat there. Amen. Daddy put us on the row. Remind me of this family right here. There was five of us kids. Mom and Daddy, they filled a whole pew. We went to church in the summertime barefooted. Amen. We didn't get but one pair of shoes a year. And brother God supplied that for us through our parents. Daddy'd go get us a pair of shoes. He didn't take us down to Walmart and pick out them high-priced tennis shoes. Some of you boys and girls in here probably got more than one pair of shoes. I don't know what it is to have a pair of shoes till I got grown and started making money after. And that had to be after my kids got grown. When I was raising kids at home, I still had one pair. Well, I did get the two pair. I had a Sunday pair and a work pair. How many's live like that? Amen. Well, praise God, there you hillbillies are. Amen. That's it. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you boys and girls now probably got three or four pair of shoes. If you're a girl, you probably got a half a dozen or more. Amen. I mean, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got a half a dozen pair. And they ain't not little cheap Kmart things. Amen. Kids like to have them high-priced labels. Well, you know how I got shoes? Daddy went and got them. Amen. You said, didn't you go try them on to see if they fit? Uh-uh. Brother, when Daddy brought them home, they fit. You know how Daddy done it? Amen. He went out on the limbs of the trees and got him a little stick and he stuck it down in the shoe. He put it first on the bottom of my foot, make sure, amen, and he cut that stick just a little bit longer than the end of my toe. He took it in there and stuck it down in that other shoe. And if it didn't fit, he looked to see what size it was and he upped it a little bit. And Daddy always gave me a pair of shoes that had growing room. I could tuck a little bit of sock in the end of it. Matter of fact, if you didn't tuck a little bit of sock in the end of it, yeah, it would flop. Amen. Now, some folks come through with flip-flops, and I had them flops, amen, before they ever had them flips. Amen. Understand what I'm saying? Here it is. And brother, they come home, Daddy said, try them on. I tried them on, laced them up, as always, lace up brogans. I wore them to Sunday school, I wore them to church, and I wore them to school. Amen. By springtime, the threads had done come out, and that there's a fly. Have you felt it? I mean, I used to think it's something to take my shoe and go, pow, pow. How many's ever done that? Hey! See, we got a bunch of hillbillies in here. Some of you young folks don't even know what I'm talking about. Amen. The bottom fell off of them. Brother, the threads had done come loose, and I'd come on, and that thing would flop, and I liked it. Matter of fact, I hefted out a little bit. Kapow! We get to see how you make the loudest racket. Get home. Daddy'd say, give me that shoe. I mean, it ain't springtime yet. Daddy'd take an old awl and a big old get a big old needle. I'm talking about a big needle. Amen. And he'd drill, push them holes through that awl, and he'd sew them things up. Here I'm going to school the next day, and brother, I want you to know, Daddy didn't trim off too much of it, and he didn't care where it looked good. He didn't even care what color thread he used. He just sewed them up. Now, y'all been there, ain't you? Amen. So you youngins now, next time you think you've got to have one of them high-priced parachutes, hey, you don't have to have them. Amen. You don't have to have them. But I remember them days. Brother, when we had all that, and looking at that, brother, I'll tell you, when these folks got amazed, they got amazed at the deeds that Jesus done, that He reached down and saved an old wretch like me and you, and make us shout the shout of God, make us sing the songs of Zion, brother, make us praise the praises of the Lamb, and brother, come to the house of God and enjoy the things of God. Brother, I'm telling you, they're amazed, they're astonished at you and me that can shout the victory. And some of us, they're scratching their head out, they can't figure out what we are yet. Amen. Some of us have been identified, and some of us ain't been identified yet. Amen. You don't fit good in the world, you don't fit good in the church. You don't make a good worldly, you don't make a good Christian. You're a fence straddler. That's the reason you walk bow-legged. Amen. You don't want to get too excited. You're afraid they might label you as a Christian on this side. And they're afraid you might get labeled as a worldling on this side. So you kind of walk down the middle. You don't want to make no splatter. You don't want to make no waves. You want to kind of tiptoe through the tulips and just enjoy life and not upset nobody's apple cart. Amen. But what you need to do is get on one side or the other. But they got astonished at His deeds. They were astonished at His words. And they were astonished at His doctrines. Amen. Would to God we'd get astonished at something around here. Hear me? I'll give you a couple more. These are not in the book of Acts, or not in the book of Mark, but they're in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, you can turn Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. You can turn to Luke, and I just want to point this out because of just the way it appeared. Look to Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 47. In Luke chapter 2, amen. Let me get where I'm at. I believe it's maybe 41. But anyhow, we talked about it. It's in the second chapter, and here He is. And we'll find in verse number 47. And all that heard Him were of what? Astonished. They marveled. They were disturbed. They were excited. They were motivated. They got alarmed. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. I like this. It's good. It's in the first of the book of Luke. Luke's taken off and he said, hey, they're astonished at the understanding and the answers. And I say this morning, I'm astonished at the Son of God, of His answers and His wisdom. When I look in the Word of God, how that He gives me exactly what I need, when I need it, at the right time that I need it. I'm astonished at His answers He gives me every once in a while. Now, let's go a little further in the book of Luke for a minute. I've got some other things I want to talk about. Time's going to catch me, so we got to go. In Luke chapter 24. Now remember, Luke starts off, them astonished, and it ends, them astonished. Look at chapter 24, and look at the verse number 22. 24 is the last chapter, verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. They got astonished at His resurrection. In the book of Luke, Luke said they was astonished at His early childhood and all through His ministry. And at the end, they were astonished at His resurrection. Thank God, I'm still astonished at that Messiah. Praise God. You said, what you build upon? I'm built upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Had He not come, died for me, He went to the grave and arose. There's no reason for me to have an open Bible before you. There's no reason for me to study. There's no reason for me to pray. There's no reason for anything to happen. Brother, I'm glad that I'm established and astonished on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there's two reasons why people do not read the Bible. Just the two main reasons. There's a lot of reasons they don't read it, but two main reasons people give me, preacher, I tell you why I don't get to read the Bible. One, I don't have time. Have you ever heard that? You know what you're saying is, it's not interesting, I don't want to read it. If you want to read the Bible and you can read, don't you come around here now and say, now preacher, I know why I can't read the Bible. I can't read. And I'm going to tell you, well, go home and get your wife to read. She can't read either. Get your kids to read it to you. They can't read either. Too young. Well, get you some tapes or something. Listen to it. And if that ain't good enough and you can't get, call me, I'll read it to you. Amen. It'll do me good to read it to you. I'll pick up a little hip in you. Hear me? Praise God. And if I ain't got time, I got a church full of people here that I believe will read to you. I'll just obligate some of you. So if I call you up about 3 o'clock in the morning next week to read the Bible, somebody, I expect you to get your Bible and go. Amen. I'm sticking my neck out. You stick yours out, all right? Listen. I believe we ought to read it. And if you want to read it, you can. If you've got time, I mean, you may not have time to do anything, but I found out things that you like to do, you make time for. What you're saying when I don't have time is I don't want to read it, period. You're just not going to be honest with me. You're just going to lie about it and say you ain't got time. You're like that fellow I went to visit. The kids, we was picking them up on the bus route. And you have to visit them every Saturday. I used to have some of them on bus route and they wanted to visit them on Tuesday. And I said, Tuesday's the wrong time to visit them. Thursday. Thursday's the wrong time to visit them. When you want to visit them, preacher, Saturday. I tried to make that clear. And these jaybirds that want to run the bus route want to do it on Friday. Because they don't want to get tied up on Saturday. And you have to replace them out. And they get mad at the preacher when you do that. Why do you want them to go on Saturday? I found out from Friday to Sunday, they got more time to forget about it. So Saturday afternoon, I knocked on this door. This fellow's standing on the ladder over here painting. And I knocked on the door. He's watching me, and I spoke to him, and I said, kids home? He said, yeah, they're at home. And I said, they're going to go. He said, I don't know, you have to ask them. I knocked on the door. So then I said, you're going to Sunday school in the morning? Yeah, we're going, preacher, going in the morning. Sometimes they'd say, no, we're going over yonder to the other church because they give you a bicycle over there tomorrow. I've had that happen. But you know what? They shut the door, and I looked over at him. I said, you know, something better than sending your kids to church. Can I tell you what something better is? He said, what's that? I said, you getting up in the morning and taking them. Amen. That would be better. He said, I'll tell you what, I don't have time. I've got to paint my house. I said, listen, God will help you paint that. He said, well, send him on over and let him paint it and I'll come to church. Oh. Isn't that the way people live and look? I'm telling you, you've got that same idea when you get to the place that you don't have time to read your Bible. And then another one comes to me. Here's the second thing. They tell you, preacher, I can't understand it. How many have ever been told that? I can't read it because I can't understand it. If I can't understand it, why should I read it? If I read my Bible, I can't understand it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's two reasons why you don't understand. Number one, you're not saved. Or number two, you're not sold out to God. If you're lost, you're a natural-minded man. You can't understand it. You're a natural-minded woman. And natural minds cannot understand, nor comprehend, nor understand in its entirety, or even just little fragments of the Word of God without some kind of light. And brother, I'll tell you, the Spirit of God is what teaches us. And without the Spirit of God, you won't know much about the Bible. What you know about the Bible today, if you're a lost person, is what the preacher's told you, and he's told you that through the Spirit of God and His Word. Somebody said, I got this from this and person and that person and everything. Let me tell you something. Preacher, I was laying down one night. I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, I seen this dream and this revelation come to me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You tell me that tonight, and today, and I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to say, I'm going to give you something better than that. The Bible teaches us that in days past and days gone by, Brother, God spoke His prophets and dreams and revelations and those sort of things. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. And we've got the Word of God. And I'm not looking for a dream or a revelation. Some of you supposed to get a dream or revelation just because they've been eating wild onions and cucumbers before they went to bed. Amen. We need to get the Word of God. And God speaks to us. Well, let's go a little further. Brother, the reason you don't is understand it. I've had church members and members of the church, and they just claim that they're saved by the grace of God. I'm not going to argue with you if you tell me you're saved and you can't understand the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, basically, if you're lost, God cannot reveal the things of the Word of God to you. The first thing you need to do is get birthed into the family of God. Amen. But let's give you something else. Here's some of the reasons why, if you are saved, you don't understand the Bible. If you're saved, number one, you're not reading it. Someone said, I ain't never learned how to read the Bible. Well, you'll never learn until you start reading it. Best way to learn to read the Bible is just start reading it. I believe I said that the other day. Best way to pray, to learn how to pray, is pray. And if you don't ever start that, you'll never learn how. Amen. You may never build a birdhouse. You would never build it if you hadn't never started somewhere. Amen. I've hatched up a lot of things in my mind never to get done. Amen. I've done things in my mind. I preached some of the best sermons you ever heard in your life. Matter of fact, I've been woke up in the middle of the night shouting at some of the sermons I just was preaching when I was asleep. Went to church and thought I'll just preach them over again. They didn't go like they did when I was dreaming about it. Amen. I tell you right now, I've preached some of the deepest, the strongest, the meanest, the best. Brother, I've preached and I've seen them shouting and running the aisles, and I've seen them glorifying God and having a revival and a camp meeting, and I woke up and found out I was in a dream world. Amen. Reality set in. I said, Lord, have mercy. At least I had a good time there for a while. Amen. I know you have. You've been there. Hear me? And God showed me some things. He showed it to me through the Word of God. You don't read it, you're not going to learn it. Another reason that you're not learning the Bible and can understand it is because you're not surrendered. See, some folks have got a closed mind. I'm talking about Christians who've got a closed mind to the Word of God. They know if they read too much of it, they've read enough of it to find this out, that the Holy Spirit starts speaking to them from the Word of God. And they know if I look at this, I'm going to have to obey it. And if I obey it, it's going to change my lifestyle. And there's some things I just don't want to change right now. There's a lot of you right now that don't want to read it because you know good and well there's some things that's going to change in your lifestyle. You're going to have to quit doing some things and you're going to have to start doing some things. There's some things you're going to have to give up, and there's some things you're going to have to quit. There's some places you're going to have to quit going. There's some things you're going to have to quit getting involved in. And there's some things that you're going to have to get knee-deep and ankle-deep, or not ankle-deep, but knee-deep and then loin-deep and get on out into the water for the glory of God. You know it's there. Amen. There's some things that you have already made up your mind that you're not going to... You said, Lord, I don't mind reading your Bible, but when I come to the other part, I'm going to skip it because I am not going to do it. Now, you don't point your finger in the face of God and tell Him that, but that's what you're saying to yourself in your heart. Amen. Amen. If I get to read my Bible too much, preacher, I'll get to that part about tithing, and that gets on me and I can't stand that, and I'm going to skip that. Now, if you're going to skip that part of it and not obey it, let me tell you something right now. You're not going to understand any of the other because you've already rejected the truth. Amen. Amen. And so now, preacher, I'm going to read in there, but it starts working off on me and trying to make me holy and trying to make me different. And I'm going to have to... I know if I read in there too much, I'm going to have to give up my backer chewing. My smoking. I'm going to have to get my temper under control. I'm going to change some of the places I'm going to. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to quit buying lottery tickets. Amen. I'm going to have to quit eating down at the steakhouse where they're selling liquor or beer. I get corrected all the time. What's the difference to me? It's all alcohol. Yeah. Then I don't eat down there where they serve liquor. They say, don't serve liquor, preacher. Serve beer. Amen. So that makes it better, huh? Huh? You understand how silly we can get? Now, preachers, there's just some things I'm going to watch. You've already got your mind, and I could give you a list this morning. Some of you have already said it. You don't even know you've done it. And you don't want to read your Bible because you know good and well if you get in this book, this book's going to overtake you and get in you. And when it gets in you, He's going to kick a few things out. You know how I know that? Because He's done kicked a lot of things out. And I know there's some things He's fixing to do. Amen. He's still got some more kicking to do. In my life and yours too as well. Yeah. Amen. I was going to take off on another little subject right there, but it's going to take me a little while. I think I'll save it. I can't do justice to it. Amen. Now, the reason you don't want the Word of God, won't want to study it, is because you have no intentions to live by it when you do learn it. Amen. You're out of touch with God, and He's out of touch with you. You done put God on a certain pedestal of your life, and you said, Lord, I love You. I thank God that You are God. And I'm grateful that You saved me. I'm glad that You're mine. And so, I appreciate that You're there. And if I need You, I'll call on You. And you just sit right there and I get back. And we'll live our life the way we want it live it. Because we don't want God to get involved. We don't want Him to get God involved in raising our children. We can do it ourselves. Amen. We think we're such a good parent that we can raise them the way we want them to be raised. You can't. Amen. It's going to take God to do it. That's right. I know it is. Amen. Guess what? We get the place we're just not surrendered. You get surrendered to God, and you get the place that you want to have the will of God in your life, you'll start reading your Bible. Lord, here I am. I want to know the truth. And Lord, when I find the truth, please apply that truth to my life and help me to surrender to this book and let this book take over my life. Now, if you pray that before you read the Bible, you'll find out that Bible will do much for you. Amen. You said, but there's some things I don't want it to mess with in my life. You got a problem. You need to fall before God first and surrender. You're not totally surrendered to God. You're not sanctified. That's a Pentecostal term. Oh, where'd you get that? Preacher, that's a Pentecostal. No, it ain't. That's a Bible term. Sanctify. You just get in them little Pentecostal churches and they'd get up and they'd say, I'm saved, sanctified, and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, what's wrong with them terms? You go over to the Baptist church, you get to say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. They look at you. We don't believe that around here. Something wrong with them. Saved, sanctified, and baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to know it's biblical. And I'm not going to let that crowd take that away from me. Just because they seem like they got a monopoly on it. You can sit there and be dead if you want to say, I ain't going to get up and say that myself. That'll label me with that crowd. Label you what you want to. I want to be labeled with the Bible. Amen. Amen. Before I get started on that subject, let's just pray. While they come to the instruments, our heads are bowed. Lord, give us wisdom, understanding. As we give an invitation, touch, have Your way, speak to souls. May the minds of men be opened. May we be enlightened this morning. If there's one under a sound of our voice, this will all save them out of the will of God. Touch them. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.